Today, I'm excited. We are celebrating the seventh time that God has done an amazing work in the lives of people who've gone through the Rooted journey. Woo! Absolutely. And this journey, when you think about God's amazing work through this journey and through the last six iterations of Rooted, in fact, if you think about all the amazing work that God has been doing throughout humankind over the thousands and thousands of years all across the world, you could nail that amazing work down to one simple little word. And that word is trust. Trust is the most important and precious commodity in your life. It's trust. Trust is what gives you intimacy. Trust is what gives you security. Trust is what gives you peace. It gives you joy. It's what gives you strength and what gives you power within. It's all about trust. Now you could say, well, wait a minute. I thought maybe love would be the most precious commodity in my life. And I would say there's some truth in that. But I would also say that love is the currency that earns trust. Love creates trust. But if you've ever been wounded or betrayed or hurt or somebody leaves you or life has been really hard and difficult, which I'm sure to some degree or another, every single one of us in here has dealt with that. We can have somebody come into our life and love us perfectly and yet not trust them, at least not at first. But if we gave them some time and we began to see whether they would, you know, stick it out with us, whether they would persevere even when they know everything about us, and we've given them a shot and they continue to love us, then we begin to trust them more. It's just kind of the way that we are. It's the way that we are wired. It's no different than our relationship with God. A lot of us go through life and we're hurt or we're wounded by people in our lives, whether it's by our parents, whether it's by somebody that we love and said, I do at the altar, or it could have been a boss, or it could have been anybody. And if we've had those wounds in our lives by which we've created kind of this mistrust, we can then project that onto God and just say, okay, God, I hear that you say you love me. I hear that your son died for me, but I don't know whether I really trust that. I don't know whether I really trust you. And so we can go through this life with major trust issues, not only with other people, but with God. In fact, if you look at the state of our being here, particularly in the United States, we have some major trust issues, right? We have major trust issues. You see it like with our government. You know, 19% of us trust that our government is going to make the right decision. 19%. And some of you are thinking, man, that's pretty high. You know what really blew my mind? Did you know that back in 1964, 77% of Americans believed that our government would do the right thing? 77%. It almost seems almost incredible to think that there was ever such a time as that. Now we just have this such a just big, huge form of distrust. We have higher rates of cohabitation and people not getting married. Why? Because we deal with this lack of trust that somebody's going to hurt us. They're going to wound us. They're going to leave us. And so we got to protect ourselves from that. We have higher levels of anxiety and stress in our lives than ever before. Because we're afraid that you know, it's not going to be okay. We don't trust that our future is going to be okay. And so we deal with all of this loneliness and depression, anxiety and stress. And all of that, guys, is really just something that is moving underneath us that shows us that we deal with a lot of mistrust. And one of the things that God is constantly conveying to us and desiring for us to know that he is trustworthy, and that when we trust in him, we find intimacy, that he loves us, that he's not going to leave us, he's not going to abandon us, he's not like other people, and that he's going to take care of us. He forgives us of all the things that we've done wrong. He's made a pathway for us to live for eternity with him. But in reality, a lot of times, we deal with trust issues. And so, when we look at the rooted journey, when people have gone through rooted, all rooted really is hey, what would happen if you just got together with, you know, 10, 12 other people, and you just said, okay, God, for the next 10 weeks, I'm just going to trust you. Just 10 weeks. And if you fail me, no skin off my back. It's been 10 weeks of my time. I move on. Okay. But what we found in my life, and many of you guys have gone through it, is that, man, when we trust God, we find him to be trustworthy. That he loves us. And he desires to take care of us. And that all of our anxiety and stress that we have in our life is because we're trying to trust ourselves. We're trying to trust other people. We're trying to trust institutions. And we're trying to do it without God. 2,600 years ago, the nation of Israel was going through a period of time that a lot of time, you know, a lot of us have gone through individually, and us as a community and as a nation, where they were dealing with trust issues. Trust issues, particularly with God, kind of go like this. When everything goes well and things are going great in our lives, we become comfortable. You know, we got money in our pocket, our health is good. And so what happens is we slowly move away from trust to God to trust in our things, trust in our circumstances, trust in our money, trust in our human relationships. And then when something bad happens in our lives, maybe we lose our job, maybe our standard of living goes down, maybe we lose a loved one, we go in a huge tailspin. And then what happens is we either go into despair or we take the steering wheel and we try to clutch that baby and we try to trust ourselves or trust other people to deal with that. And that's what happened with Israel. They were in this in their land. Their standard of living was higher than it's ever before. Their freedom levels were higher than it's ever before. And they began to trust all of this stuff and the things and the circumstances of their life. And then the hard things began to happen. Because that's what happens when we become selfish. A lot of times we make things very hard on ourselves. And they made life hard on themselves as they began to trust in themselves and trust in their abilities and trust in their intellect, trust in their gifts, and things begin to break down. And then what happens is instead of trusting God, they begin to try to trust in themselves even more and trust in other people and trust in foreign nations, by which things begin to break down. And that's why God sent this guy named Jeremiah to speak into that. And this is what God said through this prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and in turn turn their hearts away from the Lord. Now, one of the things that I've learned in my life is that when I don't trust God, and I've seen this before, when I first read this verse, when I didn't have a real trusting relationship with God, I would read that verse and I would think, man, God is selfish. He's self-centered. He's jealous. He doesn't want me to trust in anybody else. He only wants me to trust in him. All it is all it's all about him, right? Because what is God going to do? God's going to curse me if I don't trust him. So why would I want to trust somebody who's going to hurt me for not trusting them? Until I begin to build a relationship with God and recognize that that's not what God is saying here at all. What God is really trying to convey to us is that we're cursed. We lay that curse on ourselves when we trust in other people, when we trust in mere humans. It's not God who curses us. We do it to ourselves. And sometimes what we do when we don't have a trusting relationship with God, we tend to blame him for a lot of things that he doesn't really deserve to be blamed for. And a lot of that just comes out of a mistrust. Okay? But really what he's saying here is, guys, when you begin to trust in yourselves, mere humans, or trust in other people, you're going to get wounded. You're going to get hurt. Okay? Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. Why are we really bad, you know? Why is it really bad to trust in ourselves and other human beings? It's quite obvious, right? One, we're limited. We don't live forever, right? We have limited capacity in our mind. We don't know everything. And the worst part of us all is that we have a bias, a selfish bias. Because sometimes we can be very selfish and we can be very greedy. And it's not just about us, it's about other people that we go and we put our trust in. And so what we do is we do that, because that's what we do, humans do, and we get hurt. And so we begin to have these trust issues. And so God says through Jeremiah here, he gives this picture of what it's like when we begin to trust in us, okay? He says this in verse 6. People who trust in mere humans, well, they're like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in barren wilderness and in an inhabited salty land. In other words, what he's saying is trust is like the nutrients in our life. That's why it's such a precious commodity, right? Water is a precious commodity. And here what he's saying is trust is like water. And when we put our trust in humans, there's no water in there. There's no refreshment. There's no life in that. And what happens is we begin to shrivel inside. That's what the stress that you feel. That's the anxiety that you feel. That's the depression that you experience. The loneliness that you experience. Is because when we feel that, what we're doing is we're trying to lay our roots down into ground that can't sustain us. That can't give us life. That can't give us nourishment and peace and security. That makes us grow and grow strong. And so God is just saying, hey, when we put our trust in mere human beings, we're going to have stress. We're going to have anxiety. We're going to be depressed. And we're going to feel that inside of us. That's why we're cursed. What's the curse of putting our trust in human beings? Anxiety, stress, depression, all of those things are a symptom of our putting trust in the wrong things. And the things that ultimately can't give us the intimacy and security that we all crave. But then that's why he goes on and he says this. But blessed are who? But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made their Lord their hope and confidence. Right? God, I trust you. You're my hope. You're going to take care of me. God, I trust you. You're my confidence. That even though the world is going to hell in a handbag, I have confidence in you. I no longer have confidence in the world, but I have confidence in you. And he says, blessed are those who get to a place by which they have a trusting relationship with the Lord, that they feel a sense of confidence in their life. And then he goes on and he says in verse 8, this is what they're like. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into what? The water. Such trees are not bothered by what? They're not bothered by heat. Okay? They don't worry. They're not worried by long months of drought. Their leaves, what? Stay green. And they never stop producing fruit. If you felt fully loved and that you knew without a shadow of doubt, you're okay, you're going to be okay, this is what your life would look like. That you would feel a sense of strength. You would feel a sense of energy. You would feel a sense of growth. And it would happen no matter what's going on around you. This is the idea that he's having here, is that even though the world may have its issues, it may be breaking down, things may be going wrong at work, things may be going wrong at home, things may be going wrong all over the place, but if you trust me rather than the world, you will stay green and you will grow. You will grow. But the moment that you go, no, I don't know if I trust you, God. I got to trust myself and I got to make this happen. I got to change this. I got to change that. Or I got to trust my dad. I got to trust my mom that they're gonna love me the way that they're supposed to love me. And my boss is supposed to treat me the way he's supposed to treat. And then when they don't, guess what happens? We dry up. You know why? Because we were never meant to give that nourishment to each other. Nowhere in Scripture does it say other people are supposed to supply all your needs. Nowhere. But everywhere through Scripture, God says, I will supply all your needs. Trust me. Trust me. When I think of all the great ones who have gone before us, if there's one thing that I've seen over and over and over and over, are these people who have this deep, intimate relationship with God, by which through that relationship that took time, relationships take time, they begin to see God in a different way. They begin to experience God in a new way. and they begin to trust him even more. And you see how that was shown through the way that they lived their life. They had great celebration. There was great praise in all of their lives. But you also see in every single one of them, they went through storms. They went through difficulties. But even in the storms and the difficulties, their leaves stayed green. They continued to produce fruit and they stayed strong because they continued to say, all right, God, you're my confidence. You're my hope. One of those guys I think about is probably the most famous of all the kings of Israel, which is David. And David said this about his God through his life experience. And David went through a lot of difficult things. Imagine all the battles that he went through. The rejection from the king before him, from Saul. Running from his life from this guy. And all the while through that, he continued to put his confidence, his hope, and his joy in the Lord. And he says this in Psalm 9, verse 10. He says, those who know your name trust you. In other words, what he's saying here is those, God, who get to know you, those, God, who spend time with you, who talk to you, do life with you, a lot, every single day, people who know you, they begin to just trust you. I find that in my life, the more I know God, the more I just trust him. Because who else would I trust other than him? When I recognize his goodness, his love for me, his grace, his power, his ability. And when I look at other people within our own congregation, our own church family here, and people I've known throughout my life, is people, the strongest people I've ever known are people who not just trust God, but they have such a relationship with him, but out through that relationship, they've grown their trust in him. And you can see it, that Lord, those who know your name trust in you. The flip side of this is this. Those who don't really know you don't trust you. And I recognize that even in my life today, there are issues in my life where I still deal with trust issues. That's where my part of my spiritual growth is. That's what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth really is trusting God more. And it's a process and it's a relationship. But the more I spend time with God, the more I know his name, the more I know what he's all about and what he's doing, how he loves me and how that love never changes or goes away, and how he's taking care of me, I trust him more. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, O Lord, do not abandon those who search for you. You do not abandon. David said, this is my experience. This is my experience from my own life. This is my own experience when I see it in the other people's lives, that when people seek you, God, they find you. When people really want to have a relationship with you, not just hear a message about it or go to a Bible study about it or just think about it, but really talk to you, do life with you, I find that they find you and they trust you because they find that you are trustworthy and that you do love them very much. Another person I think about is the Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who went through a lot of life difficulties and struggles, but he had lots of joy. In fact, in prison, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why could he say rejoice in God always? You know why? Because he put his trust in God rather than trust in his circumstances, situations, or in other people. That's why he was so strong in that. One of my favorite verses here from Paul comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Because this has been almost my life journey over the last couple of years or so. And Paul kind of says this. They're dealing with some division and stuff in their church, like who's better, me or Apollos, or maybe Apollos is a better speaker than Paul, and blah blah blah, et cetera, et cetera. This is what we do. We do comparisons. We can be very divisive over that. I like that person better than that person, blah blah blah, et cetera, et cetera. But Paul's reaction to that to the Corinthian church is this. He says, "As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove I'm right. It is the Lord himself who examines me and decide." One of the worst places that we put our trust is in ourselves. I love Paul because Paul comes to a point of his life where he becomes almost like where freedom happens. Freedom in his life goes like this. You know what? I don't trust other people because, people aren't perfect. They're not around here forever. So I've learned that, putting all my life trust in other human beings isn't necessarily the wisest place. But he also learned that, trusting in myself isn't the best thing either. And that tends to be our natural reaction. Well, if I can't trust anybody, I'm going to trust myself. But I find that I'm just like everybody else. I'm just as biased and greedy and selfish and finite, and I'm not really the best person to trust. But the greatest freedom that I find that those who know your name, O Lord, trust in you. I begin to realize that the more I get to trust God, the more I'm free to not to trust myself and to trust others, and yet I see God work in an amazing way in me. And then lastly, I think of the person who is our target, who we are to be like, and that is Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things about Jesus is Jesus was an incredible man of strength. Now I understand sometimes we think, well, that's because he's God. Well, there's a reason why he's God, because he's smart, he's wise. Okay, and so as God, he does smart and wise things that show us how we were made to be. In fact, there was a time when Jesus' ministry was taken off. Thousands of people were coming to him. Like, Jesus was like the thing. Hey, man, Jesus is in town. Everybody, let's go see Jesus. Everybody's coming to see Jesus. Everybody's like, man, he's the big show. And in that moment, John writes this couple of little verses that are very interesting. They're just kind of in there. But shows you into the window of where Jesus gets his own emotional, spiritual health. And he says this in John chapter 2, 23 and 24. Because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. All right? But then verse 24. But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew human nature. No one needed to tell him what mankind is really like. He knew people, right? Man, I mean, just look at athletics and sports. If your team won, you love your coach. If your team lost, he's horrible. Get rid of him. That's us. That's who we are. That's why Jesus goes, yeah, no. I'm sure I'm going to trust these guys, you know, because they think I'm great now, but later on, they're going to all leave me. You know, I think about when Jesus came into Jerusalem, you know, and they're all yelling, crucify him, crucify him. He came during the Passover. All the Jews were coming there. Where are the lepers? Where are the blind? Where are the people that were risen from the dead? Where are they? And they're all yelling, crucify, crucify. You know, we're fickle people. We're fickle people. And I think of, you know, but Jesus didn't trust himself in man. But here's the thing, though. Jesus wasn't paranoid. I can't trust people, so I can live my life in paranoia. You know, we do that. We live that way when we think that we can only trust in people. Human beings are the only things that we can trust in. And if we can't trust in human beings, then I live in paranoia because now there's nothing worthy I can trust by which I can sink my life into. But that wasn't Jesus. Jesus didn't trust people, but who did he trust? He trusted his Father implicitly with everything. In fact, the night Jesus was arrested, before all that happened, he was going to be betrayed. He had all his people with him in the upper room. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, I trust you. We trust you, Jesus, right? I've said that before. God, I trust you. Until something happens in my life, I go, no, I don't trust you at all. This is horrible. I don't, why is this happening to me? So you see, in the upper room, they say, Jesus, we trust you. And then Jesus says, well, do you really trust me? Do you really believe in me? And then Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 32. He said, guys, you think you trust me? And you do, a little bit. You're growing, that's great. But do you really, really trust me? But the time is coming, and indeed is here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me alone. You guys are all going to ditch me. You know what, God? And then he goes, you know what, though? I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. I'm not going to feel rejected. I'm not going to feel depressed. I'm not going to feel isolated. I'm not going to feel all the things that we feel when people reject us. Jesus says, I'm not going to feel that way because there's a reason. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. That's who I trust. He's my anchor. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He loves me. He's going to be there with me all the way to the end for all eternity. He's my rock. He's my fortress. Those are all trust words. He's everything to me. And this is what I love, because when we sink our roots deep into the water of God, we become very nourished. And that even though we may not put all of our eggs in the baskets of humanity, that doesn't mean we can't love other people. Okay? Does Jesus trust us? No. But does he love us? Yes, he loves us a lot. Tremendously. Why? Because he's filled with the love of the Father. And when we are filled with the love of the Father, and our life is banked on our trust in him, we can love other people who may have hurt us or wounded us or left us, just as Jesus did. They all scattered and they ran away. Forgive them, Father. They don't know how they do. I love them. And I'm giving up my life. I'm sacrificing my life for the leper and the blind person who didn't come to bat to me when they all yelled crucify. I'm going to bat. I'm going to die for the guy who said, I will die for you. And then all of a sudden is calling down curses to God that he doesn't know me. Peter, I'm going to die for him because I love him. Because I'm filled with the love that you've given me. And that is why trust is the most important commodity in your life. In fact, Jesus said it this way. People came up to Jesus and asked him a very powerful question. Very powerful question. They asked him in John chapter 6, verse 28. He says, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? God, what do you want me to do? You ever ask that question? God, what do you want me to do? You know what? Jesus gives an answer to that. And this is what he says. Verse 29, Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. It's to believe, i.e. trust. Trust in my son. That's all I want. Trust. Build a relationship with him. And if you give him a shot over time and you keep seeking him, you will find him. And not only will you find him, you will find him to be trustworthy. And the more that you find him to be trustworthy, the more you will put your trust in him. The more you put your trust in him, the more that you're going to feel free, empowered, strengthened, and alive, even when things are not going so hot around you. When you put your roots deep in him. Guys, that's the rooted experience. That's all we do. Some of you have never been through rooted, and you're kind of wondering, what in the world do we do? That's it. It's just a time when we just kind of say, okay, hey, you know, I've been just kind of wandering, trying to figure out this life thing on my own, trusting in myself, trusting my circumstances, trusting in other things other than God, and I find myself just kind of wandering. You know, one of the things I love about Rooted, when I see over and over and over people who move to this incredible depth of trust in God. We've seen people who didn't have two pennies to scratch together, retired couples and Social Security who just say, oh, this is what God wants me to do. I will do it and find a way out. And God makes a provision for them to get through it. We find police officers and firemen whose schedules just don't really work in order to have this committed time of building relationship and see God move schedules because they begin to trust God. We see people who just say, God, I'll give you a shot. And they find a God that just blows their mind, that they give their life to, they give eternity to, that even when they find out that they have stage 4 cancer, instead of fear and trembling and anxiety, their root is so far deep into the Lord, their leaves stay green. They produce fruit all the way to the point where God takes them home. This one right here is from my brother Bing. He can't be here today. Bing's been dealing with Parkinson's. He's in a wheelchair. He's in physical therapy because he fell this week and he can't even stand on his own at all. Could hardly stand on his own before this. And if you've known Bing, I've only known Bing for about 4 years. And Bing used to play softball, bowl, walk up and down, find kids, hug them, tease them. And to see what Parkinson has been doing to him, it's been really rough. It's been really rough. You figure if there's anybody who would just not trust God, it would be Bing. If there's anybody who would just begin to drift and wander and kind of go, well, maybe there isn't a God. Maybe God doesn't have my back. But one thing I know about being, even though he feels that way or maybe even thinks that way, being in a wheelchair and not being bound and staying home and just saying, well, I just can't do this. I can't do this rooted thing. He and his wife, Marcia, said, we're going to do this. This can be hard. It's going to be difficult. They're going to have a hard time hearing me and understanding me and what I say, but we're going to do this anyways. I saw a man who continued to learn the faithfulness of God, even in a wheelchair. That God is trustworthy. That God has his eternal life. Now being is focused. Just me and you, Jesus. Just me and you. I trust you. I trust you to the very end. To the moment that you take me, I'm ready to go. I don't trust in my circumstances. I don't trust in my wheelchair. I don't trust in people. Even the good people that I have in my life, and they love me, but nobody loves you more than I do. Nobody has my back more than you. I'm more focused than ever before. And this is being. And this is what it's like when you put your full trust in God. Let's pray. Father, just the person that just rings in my heart right now as I think about the man who just came to your son with his son, who's dealing with all sorts of problems and issues and epilepsy, and he comes to Jesus and he says, heal my boy, heal my boy, heal my boy, heal my boy. And Jesus asks him, do you believe? And the dad, just with honesty, just said, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but I'm not there. But in that moment, your son showed that man through the healing of his son that you are worth putting all of our trust in. God, your son died on the cross for us because he loves us. Shows us that you are trustworthy with our hearts. And that your son rose from the dead and shows us that you are trustworthy with our lives forever. And so we're grateful for that, God. So, Father, as we celebrate the rest of the crew and the freedom that you've given them as they put their trust in you, the life change that's happened as they put trust in you, we just give you praise and we give you glory and we celebrate your goodness and your trustworthiness. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.